19. He had been summoned by a frantic, half-insane vidcall from the ancient Stanton Bros. Hysterically, Bros's image on the screen wavered with the kind of pseudo-Parkinsonism agitation possible only in a neurologically damaged structure, one bordering on senility.
"Webster, they killed one of my men! My best men!"
Near sobbing, Bros confronted Foot, completely out of control. The random spasms of his limbs fascinated Foot, who watched fixedly, thinking to himself, "I was right. My precog hunch. And right away." "Of course, Mr. Bros. I'll go personally." He held his pen poised. "The name of the Yance man and the location of his domain?" Bros spluttered and blubbered.
"Van Lindblom? I forget. I don't know where his domain is. They just called me. His death rattle. It went off the second they got him. So his leadys trapped the killer. He's still there in the villa. The leadys are outside the doors and windows. So if you get there, you'll find him. And this isn't the first assassination. This is the second."
"Oh?" Foot murmured, surprised that Bros knew about the death of Runcible's engineer, Robert Higg.
"Yes! They started with..."
Bros broke off, his face rolling and unrolling, as if the flesh, starved, were shriveling away and then seeping back, refilling the emptiness, the hollows of the skull.
"My agents on Runcible's staff reported it,"
he said, more controlled now.
"Is that all you can say? Van Lindblom was..."
Bros snorted. He wiped at his nose, his eyes, dabbed at his mouth with loose, wet fingers.
"Now listen, Foot. Pay attention. Send a commando team of your best people to California, to the domain of Joseph Adams, so they don't get him next."
Why Adams? Foot knew, but wanted to hear what Bros had to say. The participants of the special project, the existence of which he knew, the nature of which he did not, were being taken out one by one. Bros saw the pattern. So did Foot. With his pen, Foot made the note out, C-team for A's Dem, now.
"Don't inquire of me,"
Bros said in his deadly, ancient voice. "Why anything? Just do it." Correctly, stiffly, Foot said, "Immediately. I'll come to the Lindblom domain. A commando team, my best, to support Yanceman Adams. We will be with Adams from now on, unless, of course, he has already been destroyed. Did he like Lindblom?"
"They all,"
Bros quavered,
"have death rattles. So Adams is still alive, but he won't be unless you get there right away. We're not set up. My people are not prepared anymore to protect themselves. We thought it went out when the war ended. I know they'll let his clash over boundaries, but nothing like this. Like the war. It's the war all over again."
Webster Foot agreed, rang off, dispatched a commando team of four men from his substation in the Los Angeles area, then, ascending to the roof of his corporation's building, followed by two of his specially trained leadys who lugged heavy cases of detection equipment. On the roof, a high-velocity, inter-hem, heavy-duty, old wartime military flapple waited, already chugging, started by remote from Foot's office. He and his two specially trained leadys boarded it, and, a moment later, he was on his way across the Atlantic. By vidphone, he contacted the Yance Man Agency in New York City, and from it learned the location of the dead man's domain. It lay in Pennsylvania. By vidphone to his own GHQ in London, he asked for and obtained, presented visually to the screen for him directly to examine, the folio on Yance Man Vern Lindblom, to refresh his memory. No doubt about it. Lindblom had not been merely a builder, one of many, but the builder of the Yance organization. The man had absolute come-and-go use of Eisenblut's facilities in Moscow. This, of course, Foote had ascertained in the original investigation of the special project of which Lindblom had been a vital part. The investigation, he thought tartly, which had failed to turn up any useful thing. Except that Broz's despair and babyish concern extended to anticipate the sequential next-step death of Joseph Adams confirmed that the assassination so far, Higgs and then Lindblom's, were the result of the involvement of both men in the special project. Foote perceived this clearly, perceived the weaving strand that passed from Higg to Lindblom and now, potentially, next to Adams, and, he reflected, may have involved a deliberately fatal assault on Arlene Davidson last Saturday, but in a manner which at the time had seemed natural. In any case, Broz had blubbered the admission that this was a sequence involving the participants of the special agency project, Broz's project, and this meant that Higg was, obviously now, a Broz agent on Runcible's staff. So Foote's insight had been authentic. The murder of Higg had not been directed toward Runcible at, say, the instigation of Broz. The murder of Higg, as proven by the death of Yance Man Lindblom, had aimed at Broz for its ultimate target. The ruling Yance Man himself. All this now ceased to be conjecture. It had become history. And still, Foote had no idea what the special project was, or rather, had been. For now, it would appear, the project had been properly aborted. Evidently, it had not involved great numbers of members. Perhaps Adams was the last, excluding Broz himself, of course. That clanged loudly in Foote's professional mind. Adams, a part of the project, now under the protection of footman commandos, might, under the stress of these circumstances, be persuaded to blab to one of Foote's expert personnel the nature of the special project. A venture, Foote had no doubt, which was intended to make Runcible the target. Runcible was to have been the slaughtered goat, but it had not quite worked out that way. The dozers in southern Utah continued. Runcible had not been interrupted, but Broz had been, completely so. In fact, Foote could not recall ever having seen Broz, or anybody, so messy in their emotionality, so out of control. Foote thought, this special project must have been a critical endeavor. Could it conceivably have been directed at the absolute and total elimination of Louis Runcible? In other words, could we have witnessed here the instigation of the final showdown between Broz and the fabulous empire-building Carnap constructor? Instigation and rapid collapse. My lord, Foote thought mildly. My field rep, in talking to Louis Runcible, and I myself in vidphone conversation with him, obtained no impression that he was preparing such enormously precise and effective steps by which to protect himself. Louis Runcible had seemed utterly unaware, even unconcerned as to what was being prepared to ensnare him. How then could he have responded so decisively and in such short a time? And Runcible had not comprehended the meaning of the death of his employee, Robert Higg. That had been apparent on the vidphone. Therefore, Foote realized, it is possible, even probable, that Higg, and then the Yance Man Lindblom, and before that the Yance Man woman Arlene Davidson, none of these were dispatched at Runcible's instigation, or even with his knowledge. The safety of Louis Runcible is being shored up, Foote decided, but not by the man himself. An additional figure unglimpsed by me, by Runcible, by Broz, the additional figure, has entered the arena and is competing for power. He thought, I'm glad I'm content with what I have, because had I begun to overreach myself as Broz has done in this special project, I might have found myself the target, and the marksman, if this is accurate.